morning house lies empty. The clock ticks on, repeating its sound into the emptiness. In the kitchen, the breakfast stove has switched itself on. It has ejected 8 pieces of perfectly browned toast, a jug of coffee, and 2 cool glasses of milk.
Today is August 4th in the year 2026. Today is August 4th in the year 2026. Today is Mrs. Featherstone's birthday. Today is the anniversary of Talita's marriage. Insurance is payable, as are the water, gas, and light bills.
But no doors slam, no carpets take the soft tread of rubber heels.
Rain, rain, go away, rubbers, raincoats for today. Rain, rain, go away, rubbers, raincoats for today.
The garage chimes and the door rolls up. It reveals a car waiting inside. After a long wait, the door rolls down again. Nine 9:30. The eggs are shriveled and the toast is like stone. An aluminium wedge scrapes them into the sink. Then hot water whirls them down a metal throat which digests them and flushes them away to the distant sea. The dirty dishes are dropped into a hot washer and emerge twinkling dry. Out of warrens in the wall, tiny robot mice have darted, all rubber and metal. They thud against chairs, they whirl their moustached runners, knead the pile of the carpet, suck gently at hidden dust. They have popped back into their burrows. Their pink electric eyes have faded. The house is clean. The sun has come out now from behind the rain. The house stands alone in a city of rubble and ashes. This is the one house left standing. At night, the ruined city gives off a radioactive glow which can be seen for miles. The garden sprinklers fill the soft morning air with scatterings of brightness. The water pelts against the window panes. It runs down the west side of the house. The entire west face of the house is charred black, save for 5 places. Here, the silhouette in white of a man mowing a lawn. Here, as in a photograph, a woman bent to pick flowers. Still farther over, their images stamped in the house in one titanic instant. A small boy, hands flung in the air. Higher up, the image of a thrown ball, and opposite him a girl, hands raised to catch a ball which never came down. The five spots of white, the man, the woman, the children, the ball, remain. The rest is a thin layer of black. The gentle, sprinkling rain fills the garden with falling light. Until this day, how well the house has kept its peace. How carefully it has inquired, who goes there? What's the password? And getting no answer from lonely dogs and whining cats, it has shut its windows and drawn its curtains in an old maidenly preoccupation with self-protection. The house quivers at every sound. If a sparrow brushes a window, the sun blinds snap up. The bird is startled and flies away. Not even a bird must touch the house. The house is an altar with 10,000 attendants, big, small, servicing, attending. But the gods have gone away, and the ritual of the religion continues senselessly, uselessly. Dog whines, shivering, on the front porch. The front door recognizes the dog's voice and opens. The dog, once huge and fleshy, has now gone to bone and is covered with sores. It moves in and drags itself through the house, leaving a trail of mud. The angry mice come whirring along behind it, angry at having to pick up mud, angry at inconvenience, for not a leaf fragment can blow under the door without the wall panels flipping open and the copper scrap mice flashing swiftly out. The offending dust, hair, or paper is seized in miniature steel jaws and raced back to the burrows. From there, it goes down tubes into the cellar, where it is dropped into the sighing vent of an incinerator which sits like evil bale in a dark corner. The dog runs upstairs. It yelps hysterically at each door. At last it realizes, as the house has realized, that only emptiness is here. In the kitchen, the stove is making pancakes now and filling the house with a rich smell of baking. The dog scratches desperately at the door. The door remains shut. The dog froths at the mouth, its eyes turn to fire. It runs wildly in circles, biting at its tail. And at last, it dies. It lies in the parlor for an hour. mice have come out. They have caught the scent of decay. They go humming along as softly as blown grey leaves in an electrical wind. The dog is gone now. In the cellar, the incinerator gives out a sudden glow, and a whirl of sparks goes leaping up the chimney. And now it is afternoon. Bridge tables are sprouting from the walls. Playing cards are fluttering down in a shower of pips. A tray of tea has appeared on a side table. There are tiny sandwiches and a large iced cake. Suitable music accompanies the tea interval, but the tables are silent and the cards untouched. Tables are folding up like giant butterflies. They slide back through the paneled walls. The nursery walls are beginning to glow. Animals are taking shape on them. There are yellow giraffes, blue lions, pink antelopes, lilac panthers. There's the lazy bumble of a purring lion, the patter of a copy feet, the murmur of fresh jungle rain falling on summer starched grass. Now the walls are dissolving into distances of parched weed, mile on mile, and warm, endless sky. The animals are drawing away into thorn breaks and water holes. It is the children's hour. The kitchen stove is at work again. It is evening, and dinner is being cooked.
Tick, tock, 9 o'clock. Tick, tock, 9 o'clock. Time for rest, time for play, time to put your cares away.
The dinner has been served, and the wasted food has been thrown away. Fire is blazing in the study. A cigar has popped out on a metal stand just opposite the hearth. It has got half an inch of soft grey ash on it. It's smoking, waiting. And now it is bedtime. In the bedrooms, the beds are being warmed by their electric blankets, for the night is cool.
Mrs. McClellan, which poem would you like this evening? Since you express no preference, I shall select a poem at random. Sarah Teasdale, as I recall, your favorite. There will come soft rains and the smell of the ground, and swallows circling with their shimmering sound, and frogs on the pool singing at night, and wild plum trees in tremulous white. Robins will wear their feathery fire, whistling their whims on a low fence wire. And not one will know of the war. Not one will care at last when it is done. Not one would mind, neither bird nor tree, if mankind perished utterly. and spring herself when she woke at dawn would scarcely know that we were gone.
The fire burns on the stone hearth, and the cigar falls away into a mound of quiet ash on its tray. The empty chairs face each other between the silent walls. It is 11 o'clock, and the wind is blowing. A falling bough has crashed through the kitchen window. A bottle of cleaning solvent has shattered in pieces over the stove. The room is on fire. Water pumps are shooting out water from the ceilings. The solvent is spreading, sliding its way under the kitchen door. The house is trying to save itself. Fire doors have sprung shut, water is being pumped onto the flames. But the windows have broken in the heat, and the wind is blowing on the fire now. With 10 billion angry sparks, the fire has roared its way from room to room. Water rats have come squeaking from the walls. They each give a burst of water. Mechanical rain is spraying down. But the fire has gone crackling up the stairs. It is feeding on Picassos and Matisse as though they were delicacies. It bakes off the oily flesh and tenderly crisps the canvas into black shavings. The fire's on the beds now. It's in the windows, changing the colour of the curtains in an instant flame. Ah, reinforcements. Blind robot faces have come peering down from attic trap doors, and they're gushing out snakes of green chemical which go whipping over the floors, killing the fire with a clear, cold venom. No, the fire's been too clever for them. It sent its flames up outside the house, right up to the attics. It's reached the pumps. The electronic brain, which was directing the pumps, is shattered in pieces, and the fire roars in again. The house is shuddering, oak bone on bone. Its bared skeleton cringing from the heat. It's as though a surgeon had torn back the skin and all the veins and capillaries were quivering in the scalded air.
Help! Help! Run! Run! Help! Run! 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 Fire! Fire!
The jungle's burning in the nursery. Blue lions are roaring. Purple giraffes are bounding off. The panthers run in circles, changing colour. 10 million animals are running before the fire. They're making for a steaming river in the distance. The death of the house is very near now. A few last cleaning mice have come darting out. They're bravely trying to clear the ashes away. The stove in the kitchen is turning out breakfast now, frantically and for the last time. 10 dozen eggs, 6 loaves of toast, 20 dozen bacon strips. They're all eaten by the fire. The flames race through the house, ravaging, devouring. Fire has burst the house apart. It has slammed flat down on the ground, puffing out spark and smoke. The attic has smashed into the kitchen and drawing room. The drawing room has smashed into the cellar. Deep freeze, armchairs, film tapes, circuits, beds, they're all in a muddled, cluttered mound beneath the ruins. There is only smoke and silence. A great quantity of smoke. Dawn is showing faintly in the east. The sun is rising now and is beginning to shine over the heaped rubble and steam. There's one wall left standing among the ruins. Just one wall, alone.
Today is August 5th of the year 2026. Today is August 5th of the year 2026.
The voice is coming from inside the wall, I think. A last voice is speaking from the house.